But it's nice to be back in normal weather again. I left here going from the beach to kind of zero temperatures. I couldn't believe what I was in for. But it's nice to be back in normal weather again. And I'm convinced that we honestly live in one of the most beautiful places in the world. It's Franschhoek, people. There are many other places to stay. We are really blessed and privileged to live in this fantastic place. It's the start of a new year. We've spoken about it. It's come out this morning. And I suppose ministers and preachers are wondering and thinking, what should they say to their congregations at the beginning of another year? Another 365 days, another opportunity that we have lying before us. And I think some of them, the ministers, would be tempted to preach along the lines around, say, how can I inspire you or help you to keep your New Year's resolutions? But that would be a bad idea, because most of those have to do with going to the gym, and I know you've probably already not stuck to those. So I'm not going to speak about anything motivational or to try and hype anybody up for the new year. I think the Lord's already spoken. He's already said clearly this morning, you know what? He's not even stepping with us into the year. He's ahead, and he's calling us into 2019. And he's gone before us. That's the word that I believe that the Lord has for us, that he's gone ahead of us into 2019. And you know, he's calling us out on the water. And he's saying, step out in faith, step out into your 2019 and follow me. And so this morning I'm wanting to share a message that's called, it's time for a family road trip. It's time for a family road trip. Now, this is not like an actual road trip, although we can do that as well. But I'm talking about us as a church in the Spirit. It's time for us to go somewhere. And I've chosen a little orange bus over there. I doubt we're going to fit into that. But you get the picture. I'm calling us out as the pastor, as the leader of the church, and saying it's time for a family road trip, a church family road trip in 2019. Now, I don't know about you, but I absolutely love road trips. It's really my idea of fun to get in a car with my special people, and to head up the N1. It doesn't matter how far. We must just keep on going. Or the N2. It doesn't matter. South Africa is so beautiful. You can drive anywhere, and it's so phenomenal. But if you want to spoil me, get me in a car and say, let's go on a road trip. So we end up doing quite a few road trips. We bought a semi-new car. When was it? About 6 months ago or... That poor thing, it's just got so many kilometers on since we got hold of it. Because I think in June we went like basically all around the country, and in December we went up the coast and down the coast and up to the Free State. So we really enjoy road trips. And I thought to myself, what makes a good road trip? Before we discuss this hypothetical, metaphorical road trip that we are going on as a church, what makes for a good trip? So the first thing you need a vehicle. Okay, so you need a car or something that's preferably got aircon. Okay, so when I was younger, I had this little Opel Corsa that did not have aircon. And a couple of times I would have to do the long haul between Cape Town and Joburg in summer. And those aren't fun road trips. Okay, yeah, because when you get to about Colesberg, you actually start feeling like a roadkill. Because you're driving with the windows open, it's like 35 degrees, and those aren't fun road trips. So the first thing that you need a relatively decent vehicle to go on your road trip. I think that the other thing is you need people. Who's done that trip from Cape Town to Joburg on your own? It's just not the same, eh? It's just you run out of things to say to yourself, and you listen to your CDs over and over and over, and eventually it's like, can somebody please talk to me? You know, it's just, you speak the ears of the person at the engine, you know, or person putting in your fuel. So people make for a great road trip. Think of this in terms of the church. Where are we going? The thing that's going to make amazing, or 2019 amazing, is the fact that we're all sitting here, and we're going to do this year together. You obviously got other groups that you move in and social circles thing. But when it comes to church, when it comes to the ecclesia, when it comes to the people of God, these are the people, open your eyes, these are the people that God has called you to journey with in 2019. God has called you. And if he's not called you, please go to another church and go and be part of that church. But go to the people that God has called you to journey with. Because let me tell you, he's not called you to journey alone. He has not called us to do this walk alone. We are the body of Christ. Paul goes into so much pictorial language. Christ is the head. We are the body. We are the hands and feet. We are meant to do this thing together. We are not meant to do solo road trips. So this morning is about a call to do this road trip, this church trip together. The other thing that makes for a good road trip is music. In our case, just what we had now. The praises of God in our midst. Otherwise, things get silent. God is not a silent God. He's a God that's called us to be a people of his song, to be a people of his praises. His songs of deliverance, his songs of praises must be loud on the stereo of our church bus. Amen? Amen? The other thing is food. Food is potkos, eh? Come on, guys. We don't need to be so super spiritual in church, okay? Potkos is part of the road trip, okay? At least it's part of my road trip, okay? So the night before, she's boiling the eggs. I quite enjoy eierkie met sout en peper en bietjie tomatie sauce. Some people are horrified now at the smells that might come out of that car. Bietjie boerewors. Ja, Stefan, ons braai die aand voor die tyd, né? Boerewors in die potkos. It's what's called potkos for the pot, you know? Fles tee, fles koffie. Those. We need fuel, man. We need fuel for this road trip. You know what our fuel is? It's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's in our. He's the one that gives us power to go forward in this bus, in this trip that we are going on. And I say one of the other things that we need is we need a map. Well, these days, an app, hey? Maps on RM. And these are a couple of things that I believe that the Lord has put on our path, that He's laying before us. To observe and to think about as we kind of step into 2019. So while we're speaking about maps, put up that first one. So where are we going? Richard, okay, you're saying we as Shofar Franschhoek, we're going somewhere in 2019 as a church. Where are we going? And I know most of you want to go to Durbs, but I need you to think spiritually now. Where are we going? What are the things that we believe that the Lord has in store for us in 2019? So end of each year, or yeah, kind of as I'm getting to October, November, I'm praying into the next year. I'm saying, Lord, what do you have in store? What would you like to focus on in 2019? Because it doesn't help we start asking the Lord in the beginning of 2019. 2019 then already has started. You need to start asking the Lord before. What does the new year hold for me? And so I'm praying, and it's actually on my last trip back from the UK. The Lord's speaking to me on the airplane, and he's saying these few things. Go and pray about them. So I pray about them for a few weeks, and then I present them to the leaders, and I say, what do you think? And they say, yes, this, no, that. And so I believe that the Lord has called us to do many things, and in 2018, we focused on a whole bunch of things. And of course, all those things still apply, but what do I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying to us to focus on for this year, 2019? And so our map looks a little bit like that next slide over there. The first thing that I believe that he's told us, and I shared this at the end of last year, but I believe it's at least important to look at this vision at least twice as a church. As we go into this year, what are the things that I believe the Lord is saying for us? Relationship is key. Church lives and dies on relationship. Without relationship, there's no church. We've had the word here this morning. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit is speaking. About this tree, about a tree that's grafted and planted at the waters, which means you're in God's word, you're flowing in God's spirit. But who knows when the drought comes and you start disengaging from the vine? That's when things start cracking and breaking. And so Jesus says, be grafted into the vine, which means into him, and by default, into his body, into his church. And so church or life in Christ, I want to say to you, does not really exist outside of church. And this is not a motivational speech to be in this church every Sunday. Honestly, I'd like that. But you go where the Lord leads, you know. You would know. You would know. We were talking about it last night. And Jolene was just sharing about, I think it was Bill Johnson from Bethel, just talking about, it was the Chris guy, he was saying his life changed when he found his people. He calls it his tribe. And he was asking God, what do you want to do with my life? Where do you want to use me? And it's like, he got a couple of words, but it didn't really work out for him. And he said, the change came when he found his people that he must journey with. And that's what this morning really is about. It's about this bus. Are you meant to be on this bus? Because if you're on this bus, this is where it's going. And this doesn't mean that it can't change direction. You know who's the driver of this bus? Not me, not Jolene. The Holy Spirit's the driver of the bus. I'm the conductor. I'm just checking everyone's all right, you know. Tickets, please. But we have given our plans to the Lord, and we've asked him, Lord, speak into 2019. Speak into what you want for us for this year. And so we as children of God, we as sheep of the shepherd, we hear his voice, and I believe this doesn't mean this is a list that can't change. It's a fluid list. But for right now, this is what we believe the Holy Spirit is saying for Shofar Franschhoek 2019. You need to focus on relationship this year. Shofar Franschhoek, I want you to be Spirit-led this year. I want the gifts to start operating in this church this year. I want more people like this morning to start sharing testimonies. That the ecclesia of God, that the church of God ministers to one another. That's why we have church. Not just to receive. God has called you as part of a church to be a blessing to this church. You know, when we have communion, I want us to start looking up and around and seeing who has God called us to walk beside us. Sometimes in church we say, no, don't focus on the person next to you. I want to say, focus on the person next to you. You're meant to. God expects it. He hasn't called you to be solo rider for Jesus. He doesn't work like that. His plan, his purpose is the church. We are meant to be a blessing. We come here to receive, yes, but we come here to bless. To walk into this place, say, Holy Spirit, maybe you will speak to me. Maybe I must take the nervous steps to the front, grab the mic, and say something that I believe. Please do it. That is why we have church. So that God can speak to us, like Jolene said. Not just Richard or Jolene or Stefan or Derek. The whole point of this whole thing is that we engage with God. And we do that in the shape, in the bus of the church. Amen? Okay. Empowered for ministry, empowered for mission. I'm going to kind of go through these all separately. We're going to do our Mercy Ministry relaunch and Sunday Youth Service. So let's start on that first one, relationship building. Why a camp? I think some of you are thinking, if you show the slide one more time, I'm actually going to run to Montague. You know what? The camp is just secondary. The main thing, let you in on the secret. It's all about relationship. This is just a relationship facilitator. We could have done something else. Gone and played paintball or something, I don't know. You know, maybe next year we'll do something different. For this year, the purpose of the camp is that we can build relationship with each other because God desires that. And you know why he wants us to be strong in relationship? You know why he wants us to know the person on our left and our right. It's not so that we can just have a good time and fellowship. If you read the word, church doesn't end at fellowship. Fellowship is a big part of it. But it's so that we can be the body of Christ together when we go out into the world. When we go to the trenches of outreach and mission later this year, the thing that will hold us together is our relationship in Christ. That's why we're having this camp right up here in the beginning of the year. So we have an opportunity to get to know each other. Where do men get to know each other? Around the braai. Rondom die vuur. Then the real Stefan comes out, you know.
And the real taste, what's taste? I just want to say that taste is prime master of the church, okay? There's no competition. Stefan came close, but the real prime masters. So taste is going to be, is your right on prime master, but he come to this. I say. Stefan's two I see, the rest of us will fall. But it's to get to know one another. Because, you know, we come out of a busy week, we rush into church, and you'll see, man, once this wheel starts turning, the wheels of the bus go round and round, and once 2019 starts rolling, you know, we're kind of in this groove and in this rhythm, and they're not always these opportunities to look around, to look to the left, to look to the right, and to ask something that's a bit deeper than how was your week. You know what I'm saying? But let's go to Montague, and maybe we're going to do a prayer march up the mountain, and we see who's fit and who's not fit, and go catch a fish, and we see who can catch a fish, and let's worship together, and let's swim together. I say, let's go and break the Guinness Book of Record for the most church members in the pool. And guys, I want to tell you, this is the last plug for the camp, but we've got nearly 60 adults and over 30 kids coming. I don't know. Montague Caravan Park doesn't know what's going to hit it when Shofar Franchuk arrives there in March, okay? And so I want to encourage you. You've got one or two more weeks to sign up. But the whole purpose, the whole point of the camp is not to go and camp. We don't need another camp per se. The whole point is that we can fellowship together. And that Sunday morning, we're going to have a service on that side as well. And just seek the Lord together. So, relationship building. That's the first thing. Where are we going on this journey in 2019? I believe one of the first things, one of our first stop-offs is relationship building. Let's go to the second one. God has spoken really loudly and clearly. He wants us to be empowered for ministry to each other and to the rest of Franschhoek. And so, what are we going to be doing in the next short while, the next few weeks? We're going to be focusing on the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is and why he was sent to us. So I think that next slide gives us a few of those scriptures. The fancy word, seeing that I've studied this stuff, I might as well say it again. It's called pneumatology, the pneuma. The Greek word for the Spirit is the pneuma, the breath of God. Pneumatology, the study of the Spirit. So what are we going to be going on in the next 3-4 weeks? And I can't wait to do this. We're going to be breaking open the scriptures and unpacking what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, the pneumatology. And they're the two people that really, really spoke a lot about the Holy Spirit. Is them as well, but just go up again. Is Luke and Paul, okay? Devin is so sharp at the back there, man. He's just fingers just waiting to click next slide. And I don't know, man, I am so excited about the word because it's the word that changes us. You know, Paul says, let me not be known for coming and speaking with eloquence, but let me come in the demonstration of the power. And you know where the power lies? Not in the person that's standing up here. It lies in the Spirit and in the word. So what I'm really trusting for is, I'm trusting for the word to speak to us. As we take time to eat, as we take time to meditate, what does the word say about the Holy Spirit? What did Luke say when he wrote Acts? What did Luke say when he wrote Luke? What did Paul say when he wrote 13 epistles to churches? You know, often we forget and we say Romans and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and they abstract concepts of those were people just like us. They were churches. In that time that Paul wrote a letter, he might as well, in today's terms, typed an email or sent a WhatsApp and said, you know what, Corinthians, you're struggling with this. Ephesians, the church in Ephesians, you're struggling with this. Let me share what I believe in. And so Paul, in those letters, writes about the Spirit, how those churches should engage with the Spirit. And we have the benefit of, as Shofar Franchuk is saying, Lord, what did you say through Paul to those churches? How should we live? What Paul wrote 2,000 years ago is changing our lives today. It's shaping our lives, the way we engage with the Holy Spirit. So empowered for ministry. And next, we've got two special people coming to show for Franschhoek on the weekend of the 15th to the 17th of March. If you got like a diary or a pen or a phone, this is a date you want to diarize. This is probably the most important date for the first half of this year. It's the weekend of 15 to 17 March. There's a couple called Andre and Sonika Kruger. They are the pastors of Shofar East London. They've been there for 11 years. And God is using them mightily in East London. They've got a big, big church there. And Andre is one of those guys that's put in the hard miles when it's around obedience and following the lead of the Spirit. And I think he'll share some hard lessons he's learned when he's missed the Lord. But you know what? He's been faithful to pursue, and he's always been the one. He's like Peter. He's always jumping out of the boat and pushing the things. And so the pastor in the whole Shofar family that I believe has gone the deepest into pursuing the Holy Spirit is this guy, Andre and Sonika. And that's why I've asked him, I phoned him at the end of last year, say, the Lord's spoken to us. We need to focus on the Holy Spirit this year. And I want you to come. I want you to come and speak to us. I want you to come and impart to us. And so we're going to take a Friday night and a Saturday morning, those week, the 15th and the 16th. And I've invited the Paul Church. Paul Church are joining us. And so I want us to pack out of this place and really have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I don't know what he's going to share. He might just say, let's wait on the Holy Spirit. But I'm really trusting as we build up in the Word, as we stir our faith. I've asked Graham also to share, somebody who moves powerfully in the Spirit. So Graham is also sharing in the next while. And just start trusting the Lord, how we as Shofar Franschhoek can pursue life in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Who's excited about this? Amen. I am so excited about this. So Andre and Sonika, they're coming to do a Holy Spirit impact weekend with us. So please, guys, pencil out that date. It's going to be really important. That Sunday, the 17th of March, will also be the ordination of our new elders here in church. So it's a big weekend for us as a church. So let's all be there, 15 to 17 March. The second thing when it comes to the Holy Spirit is we're not just empowered by the Holy Spirit for a social club. This is not a social club. This is not a place where we just come and be fed for the purpose of feeding ourselves. The whole point of being fed, the whole point of being nurtured is so that we can go, so that we can be the hands and feet of Christ. I spent a whole week on a missions module, man, and it was just so incredible. Next slide there quickly, Devin. We're going to look at all these concepts, like mission of God, the Missio Dei, incarnational mission, which just means mission is about us being the hands and feet of Jesus. And holistic mission, which means it's not just about proclamation. It's about us becoming literally the hands and feet. There's a social element to the gospel as well. So we're going to be looking at all those things. We're going to be, after we've done with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the whole point of being empowered is to go. That's the biblical model. You get empowered to give. You get empowered to go. You get empowered to be the hands and the feet of God. So where's this bus going? The bus is stopping for a while around the scriptures of the Holy Spirit. Man, when we've been empowered, and we're already empowered, but when we've been more empowered, the whole point is that this church would move out. And so May is our missions month. Next slide there quickly, Devin. I've shared with you, we're going to support. I said to you, the whole point of missions is to go. God so sent, God so loved his only son that he sent him, Jesus, from heaven to earth. Jesus was sent. The Holy Spirit was sent. By default, we are sent. We're sent to our Jerusalem, our Franschhoek, our Samaria, our Judea, to the ends of the world. The whole purpose of church is eventually to go and share the gospel. The place that I believe that the Lord, perhaps our Samaria for this year, is Prince Albert. There's a small Shofar church there that's had a bit of a tough time, bit of a rough time. So we're going to encourage them over a weekend. And so there'll still be a lot of information about that. But we are literally going to get in a bus and we are going to head up the N1 road trip. And we're gonna go and support this church, and we're gonna do amazing things with a holistic gospel, just meeting people's needs. We're gonna be handing out food bags. We're gonna be doing youth programs. We're gonna be training. We're gonna be taking their service on the Sunday morning. But the whole point is just get going. Shofar Franschhoek, you haven't been going for a while. I'm going to be honest with you guys. This is not a missional church per se. I think in years gone by, there used to be some missions. But when it comes to going out beyond Franschhoek, it's been a bit quiet at Shofar Franschhoek. That's fine. The Lord's patient with us. But the call is coming and I'm hearing and saying, go. Get in a bus, get in a plane, get in a train. Go. Literally, go. Go and preach the gospel. Not just to Franschhoek. So I'm very excited about that. The next one. Shofar Franschhoek Mercy Ministry. I told you last time, the reason why the slide is blank is I don't know what the Lord has in store for us, but I know He's spoken. Guys like David and Yanni have been doing incredible work in this valley. And in a sense, they've been burdening things on their own. And so what the Lord has said is He wants broader participation. He wants Shofar Franschhoek as a church to get behind them in the work in this valley, in the work in this community. So the idea is we're going to be spreading the nets a little bit wider. And you might ask me now, Richard, what does it look like? I don't know. I don't know. All I know is we mustn't just start doing stuff. God doesn't need another program. What He wants is us to seek Him. So that's what I said to the guys now. I don't know. Richard, you're our leader. What must we do? I don't know. I didn't know what we must do with the Kibwe kids. It was tough. But eventually God spoke as we waited on Him. As we seeked Him for the solution, He spoke and He provided. And now things are wonderful there. I'm trusting the same thing for our mercy ministry. What I have done is I've asked Pastor Ross van Niekerk. He's one of my good friends there, Ross and Magriet. I've known Ross for, goodness, 20 years. We've been doing church together. And if there's one thing that I've learned about Ross, is that he's got a heart for the poor. He's got a heart for the needy. He's got a heart for the have-nots. And his gospel, his life, his Christianity is a challenging Christianity, the way he lives it out, because he really has an impact. And each church that he's led, their social programs, their mercy ministries, they've been the best in Shofar. So I've asked Ross, we're waiting on the Lord. We don't know what to do. Come kick us off. Just come share some ideas. And so Ross is coming to preach here on the 17th of February on a Sunday morning. So maybe pencil that in as well. And from there, I believe a conversation is going to start amongst the leaders, amongst us. We're saying, Lord, what should we do? But again, I'm very excited and I trust you are. So the Lord is speaking to us. It's exciting following Him. Sometimes you don't know where He's going, but all that I know is He's calling us out. The last one is our youth service. The other thing that we felt the Lord is saying, we're putting a lot of effort into the kids' church and the numbers are growing. But you know what? In 2, 3, 4, 5 years, those kids are all teenagers. Start providing for their needs now. So we have church here. We have church for the little lambs on that side. And for the intermediate group, those difficult to reach hormonal teenagers, we're all laughing. We were just the same, eh? We were just the same. Struggling through issues, struggling with identity questions, struggling with stuff that teenagers struggle with. We need, as a church, to be there for them as well. That they don't just find the answers at some school program. That's great. But let the church, through the Bible, speak into the lives of our young people. Amen? Amen. So that, I want to encourage you, those that are sitting here with children that are in the age 12 to 17, we're providing for you. It's up there. Moja, I don't know what he's doing with them, but I know it's going to be great. That's his passion. And so in many ways, we're releasing Moja from the services to go and focus on a segment of our church. And so that's what he's going to be doing on Sundays. So these are the five things that I feel the Lord is leading us to focus on. Is this all we will do this year? No. Will we maybe change some of this stuff? Yes, if the Holy Spirit says so. The reason why we're appointing elders as well in the next 2 months is because that's the biblical model. We've always had elders now, but with them, Johnny and them moving on, there has been a little bit of a vacuum in our leadership structures, and the Lord's been leading me and Jolene, and with the help of Johnny and Tani Delesti, we've engaged in that process of appointing new elders. And so the next 2 months, we're going to be appointing elders, and I can't wait because I just know God is going to bless that. Because that's the way He works, through the plurality of leadership. So that's where we're going, church. This is where I believe for now, as far as I can see, subject to the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is where I can see where the bus is going. Richard, you said we're going on a bus journey. We're going on this family road trip as a church. Where are we going? There we go. We're going there. The next question is, how can you get involved? How can you serve? How can you step onto this bus? And so across the Shofar churches this morning or in the next week or two, they have what they call an Activation Sunday. Okay? Activation Sunday is literally just a showcase of the opportunities where the members can serve. And so we're doing the same thing this morning. For the next 5-10 minutes, I'm just going to show you a few areas where you, as the body of Shofar Frontier, where you can serve on this bus this year. And so there are many exciting places. The first one is Kids Church. David and Adina have been doing a fantastic work in our children's church. They've been just so faithful in raising up. We don't know how much they're sacrificing. I know because my wife is there. I mean, it's a luxury to have her in church here. You know, it's so nice for me to have her here this morning. But most weeks, herself and Adina and Tracy and Cherise and the rest of the people, they're out there with the little kids, dealing with little kid problems, trying to disciple little kids. It's hard work. It's hard work raising up the little ones, dealing with tantrums and dirty diapers. And you know, I want to encourage you. It's such an important ministry. Maybe if the Lord's been speaking to you, and we're going to allow some time at the end, but we're going to trust the Lord to speak to all of us this year around where's your seat on this bus? Where would the Lord have you get involved? What I do know is that He wants you to get involved to differing extents. Obviously, you know, we've got different lifestyles and different responsibilities, but what I know is that He wants us to be involved. You know, there's a guy in church this morning. I'm not going to share his name, but he rocks up here at 7 o'clock in the practice. And at the moment, his home situation is that he's just working night shifts. He's in our church, but he hasn't been here for a long time. And he came here at 7 o'clock this morning saying he just misses church. And his situation is, right now, they still need to appoint somebody else at work. But right now, he's working every single night, the night shift. So he just sleeps in the day. So he needs to go back and support the family. So he can't be in church this morning. But he just wanted, he's saying, is anybody praying? Can I next somethos convert? I said, you know what? You're not in the worship team, but we're going to pray. Now come pray with us. Here's a guy that's working every single night. Comes in here with red eyes and saying, how can I be a part of this church? How can I serve this church? So we prayed with him. He prayed with us. I believe the Lord wants us to serve someone. He wants you to take up a seat somewhere on this bus. And He will show you to what extent, how much, how little for 2019. But what I do feel is, He doesn't just want people hanging around for no purpose. The point of the body is that we are the body, that we function, that we walk, that we move around, that spiritual blood is pumping through our veins, and that we are being the hands and feet of Christ. If the Lord is speaking to you about Kids Church, they need lots of help, especially guys as well. You know, when those little boys start pushing the boundaries, you know, these poor moms, you know, they start pulling their hair out. So we need some strong male authoritarian figures there in the kids' church. Maybe people like Carl, you know, that just with pure presence, you know, just sorts out a whole lot of problems, you know, and everybody just chooped still. So the kids' church, What else is there? Devin, let's go through. Multimedia. Brett has taken over multimedia and sound. And as you can see, he's on top of it. Thank you, that's enough, Brett. But these guys, they're serving long hours on Sundays. They're here opening up before the band, 6:45 on a Sunday morning. Same thing, David's doing that nearly every Sunday, you know, in Groendal. We need help. We need help on the sound. So if you don't even need to be electronically minded. If you just can relatively hear music quite well, we'll train you. We'll take what we get. Thank you. Multimedia, so speak to Brett afterwards. And at the back, at the end of the church, you'll see the final part of the altar call is the gazebo. I think that's what Cherise said. Everything happens around the gazebo. They sign up sheets for all of these ministries. So today's Activation Sunday, which means we get activated. And so we take our hands, we pick up a pen, and we go and write our name somewhere and say, you know what, I don't know if I can do this, but I'm going to try. And somebody will train me. Amen? Multimedia, the next one. Prison ministry, Liesl, man, I could give her the mic and she'd speak for 5 hours because this is her passion. And me and Moja alternate with going on a weekly basis into the prison. But this is, man, if we're talking about mission, if we're talking about missions and going to people that really need to experience the love of the Lord, this is it. It's hardcore, but it's amazing. And you don't go in there unprayed up. You go in there usually having fasted a day and prayed up and really alert in the spirit. But you know what? It's such incredible ministry that the testimonies that you hear in prison are incredible. And so you walk out of there each week thankful to be alive, but blessed, because it's only the raw power of God that moves in meetings where there's just brick and mortar, no fancy sound systems and flowers and things like that. You know, each week you're trusting God, it's the Holy Spirit or nothing. And so prison ministry is an amazing time. We go out on Thursday mornings, and I want to encourage you, we really need some more males. If you maybe once a month want to take an hour or two or three off and join us, the guys will love. They love it when we come. We've built amazing relationship with them. And they're actually just an extension of this church in many ways. They have their own church there, but they really regard Liesl as a mother figure. And it's wonderful to do that ministry with her. Okay, I need to move a bit quicker. Let's go to our next one. Worship Nadine. Nadine's somewhere here or in the mother's room. Man, I said the sound of the bus, where the wheels go round and round. The sound is worship. If there's one thing that I believe, and the Lord's spoken to us clearly at the end of last year through just praising Him and through worshiping, the sound of our bus is the sound of worship. Let praise arise as our bus heads down the 2019 highway. Amen. So praise and worship, obviously you don't need to be in the band, but if you got a gift, if you think you can sing, come speak to us and we will see, and we will check what the Lord has blessed you with. But our journey, our heart, is that the gifts of the bride are manifest in our midst. And that all starts somewhere for someone. Some of you think, you know what, my singing must just be in the shower. And the Lord's saying, you know what, needs to break out of the shower walls. There's somebody else that needs to hear your voice. There's somebody else that needs to know that actually you're a closet piano fundi and you did grade 8, but then you forgot about it. But actually you can play an amazing instrument. And the Lord maybe wants to revitalize a gift that you've put on the back burner on a dusty shelf. And the Lord's saying, this morning is about us being challenged as well. So if you're feeling challenged this morning, good. That's the whole purpose of this morning. We're going to be challenged to take up our seat on this bus. Next one, worship. Speak to Nadine afterwards if you want to come. Youth, we've spoken about youth. So Moja and Marielle, Brett and Tracy, they're going to be heading up our youth component of our service. And because Moja has been such an integral part of our Sunday morning services, I think the next slide will say that we need Sunday service facilitators. People that make sure that all the things, all the boxes are ticked, that things are running smoothly, that the coffee and tea is made, that the church is looking and smelling all right, and that there are people in front that are welcoming our people. That all takes somebody to facilitate it, that people are praying, that the pastor's all right, that the worship team is all right. There's somebody that takes responsibility for a Sunday morning service. And so, if the Lord's speaking to you about that position of leadership, we're going to wait on Him just now, and we're going to trust the Lord to speak to us. Small group facilitators. Okay, this is the structure that holds us all together. It's our small groups. Sundays are great, but in many ways, Sunday is the pep talk. It's the team talk. And then we go and do life in the rest of the week. And so, yes, this is church, but you know what? Church, like I said, is about relationship. And where does real relationship get forged? In the fires of our everyday lives. And the people that we walk with. And so the people that we journey with, this is just one of those things. A small group is an amazing way of just doing life together. And so small groups are really important. I know we've got a good small group culture here. I want to encourage you, if you're not yet in a small group this year, go and find out at the back. I think there's some photos of some of the small group facilitators. Not all of them are on there, but go speak to somebody there at the back and say, you know what, I want to, 2019, man, I'm going to join a small group. I'm not just going to do life by myself. I'm going to slot in. Small group is the right place to do that. So come join us. For those that feel led, perhaps, to become a small group facilitator, we're having training on Saturday, this coming Saturday, from I think it's 8:30 to 12:30 here, and we've got two or three people that are coming to speak to us about how to do that. So I'm just putting that in there and reminding the small group leaders of our training next Saturday. And that's basically what I wanted to share with you this morning. The first thing that I wanted to say to you is we're going on this road trip as a family. The second thing I wanted to share with you is where are we going? Those five areas. The third thing was, where can you get involved? Where do you get your seat on this Shofar Franschhoek bus? And the last thing that I want to share to you or share with you is what are the rules of this bus? Because each bus, in a sense, has got rules. Not rules in the negative sense. When I say rules, I'm talking more about culture, values, things that are important to us, things that we aspire to and ascribe to. What are the things, kind of the unsaid things around how we do this journey together? I think those people that do road trips with their kids will know, once you've been in the car for a while, you know, and the eggs and the Buddha horse is finished, and the same songs have got a bit boring, then life starts kicking in. I'm talking about when we start pushing May, June, July, August of the 2019 road trip. You know, it's all nice here at the beginning of 2019 and all smiles. We've all relaxed. We've just come out of most of us holidays. We're feeling good and say, yes, 2019, let's do a road trip. But come October, November, then like this bus is like, it's hauling. The achterkant sleeps with the yard. You know what I'm saying? There are going to be times when it gets tough. And then there's going to be something that's going to have to hold us together. And of course, we trust that's the Lord, and we trust that's the Holy Spirit that gives us joy, that gives us power, that gives us stamina and endurance, because all those things we get in the Spirit, as Paul says. But the reality is, we're flesh. The reality is, we're carnal. The reality is, we're limited to the challenges of doing life together with each other. You know, whenever we go on a mission trip, or any trip for that matter, I either try and do it 3 to 4 days or longer, you know, 10, 14 days. Because my general experience is, here by day 4 or 5, dan kom die katte se naals uit. then things start, the real you starts surfacing. I've seen this many times on mission. And you know what? That's not wrong. That's the reality of being a human that's trying to follow God in the Spirit and trying to get their daily portion of fresh manna and bread in the Spirit. But the reality is, at times, gaan ons bietjie vassit. Nie erg nie. Maar, you know, we bought a second-hand 7-seater car and it changed our lives. And the reason it changed our lives is because we split the three kids. They used to be in our old Jetta. There used to be three little sardines in the back there. Man, and 2 or 3 hours into the road trip is, you're touching me. And William's like, says to his sister, no, I'm not. Jy raak aan my. And then the fight starts. And then it's just the reality of being human, you know. So we bought the 7-seater, we split them up. 1, 2, 3. It's fantastic. We get to about 7 or 8 hours before the, Mama, how you doing that? Of Papa, how you doing that? I'm joking, but maybe by October, November, they're going to come to me. Pastor, how you doing so and so? Pastor. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's to be expected. It's to be expected. We will be fine if there are a couple of values that are holding us together. Values that come out of the Word. And you know what? These are all of our values. So I just put three up there that came to mind. But these are things that we as the leadership and church, we can you know, talk about. And we can come up with our Shofar Franchuk bus values. But the first thing that I believe is the obvious one, love. Romans 13:8. Paul's writing here to the believers in Rome. And he's actually speaking to them about government. I'm nearly finished. Hang in there with me. He's speaking to them about government. He's saying, be subject to the governing authority, for there's no authority except from God and authorities that are appointed by him. And then he says here, he starts talking about money and he gets really practical around your taxes. And he says, render therefore to all due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So it's just talking in the natural, how we should behave in the natural. And here verse 8, this is the one. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Owe no one anything except to love one another. So he's saying, you know what? The government, the leaders, they're appointed by God. Authority, that's a godly thing. We can't just go and all be our own Lord to ourselves. He's saying, honor the law. Honor those in authority above you. Pay your taxes. It's the right thing to do. Owe no one anything except this one thing. Owe each other love. When it comes to love, go into debt. Burn the credit card of love to your brother and your sister. Paul is saying, go for it. When it comes to love, love each other. What does that practically look like? Well, we spent a few months on that last year, but to love your brother and your sister like you love yourself means a whole bunch of things. But the first value that underpins all of this thing, the value that keeps our journey on track and keeps things relatively normal and happy on this bus, is that we love each other. Can I get an amen for our first value? Amen, amen. Peace. Where are we there? 1 Corinthians. Verse 10, chapter 1. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And obviously there's a context here. People are saying, I follow Apollos, I follow Paul. And so what we've got this church is saying, you know, basically there's disunity in this church in Corinth, and Paul, through the way that he communicated through a letter, says, let there be no division among you. Let you be of the same heart, of the same spirit. Guys, if we apply these principles of the word, you know what? It's going to be a good bus trip this year. We're going to have a good journey. You're going to love this bus ride. And you know what? The Lord's going to bless it because we're sticking to the word. The last thing is, there must be joy on our bus. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Paul's writing half of that stuff sitting in a prison cell. So we're going to find our joy not in where the bus is going, or where we think it should be going, or because who is on the bus next to us. Those things are all ancillary. They're all secondary. The main thing we're rejoicing, the main thing is why we're all singing on this bus is because Jesus is driving our bus through the Holy Spirit. He's in control, and we're following Him. There's no greater joy than following the Lord. So who's ready for 2019's family bus trip? Amen. Amen. So what are we going to do now? 3 more minutes. I want you, if you've not already done this, we're going to be quiet for 2-3 minutes. I want you just to pray to God and to ask Him, Lord, where's my seat on this bus? Where do I go and sit, Lord? Not just for the sake of sitting, but for the sake of blessing the other people on this bus. Where do I go and sit? Where do I get my hands dirty this year? Where do I go to be blessed, but to bless others? Where do I serve, Lord? Let's take 2 or 3 minutes. You just be quiet before the Lord and you ask Him. Amen. Let's stand together. You know, one of the things me and my family do every time before we go on a road trip is we pray. And the kids know if we head out this gate on a road trip, one of them will pipe up and say, Papa, ons het nog nie gebid nie. And so they know it's culture in our family now already. Before we go anywhere on a long trip, we commit that trip to the Lord and we ask Him to bless it. Not just to keep us safe on the roads, but to bless our trip. Whether it's a holiday, whether it's a meeting, whatever. We ask His blessing on our journey. And I just want to do this on behalf of us as a church. As we engage, as we step onto the bus in a sense this morning and it's all systems go and the bus starts moving. I just want to pray for us as a church. Father, we thank You for this day. Oh God, we thank You we are alive and have breath in our lungs. As Evelyn said, Lord, to bless You and to praise You and to worship You this day. Thank You, God, that You are going somewhere. That You are not a stagnant God who's lost direction. Jesus, that You are on a mission. And that You call Your body all over the world to, in a sense, get on those different buses and to follow You for their specific direction and things that You would have them do. God, and this morning we just say yes to stepping onto the bus. We say yes, and in the Spirit we step up those steps and we walk onto the bus. And this morning I want to commit each person to You. Father, would You show them where they must sit? Would You show them what their seat is? Would You show them where they should get involved, where they should get activated, not for the sake of activation, but for You this year? God, Your word in our lives, Lord, is so powerful. Speak so loudly. Speak so clearly. I pray that You'd speak to the passengers on this bus this morning, Father. God, we commit in a corporate sense our journey to You. We thank You for Your word that says that You have gone ahead of us into 2019. That You are calling us to step out in faith and to step out in following You. And so we do that, God, this morning. We pray Your hand of blessing, protection, leading, guidance, provision over 2019, over this bus trip we take as a church. God, may these values of love and peace and joy underpin, may it gird our trip, Lord. May we come to the end of 2019 and say, what an amazing year. What an amazing journey that we had. New people that we've met in church. People that we've been blessed by and that we have blessed. And so God, we just respond to Yanni's word in a sense as well this morning. God, we're not just going to stumble into this year. We're not just going to let 2019 happen to us. Father, we actively get onto Your bus, Your journey, Your trip, Your direction this morning, Lord. We declare ourselves present and say, we stick up our hands and say, we're all on board. We're here, we're ready. Holy Spirit, lead us. So be with us, I pray, Lord. Bless each person here. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The final part of this morning's service is, there are sign-up sheets at the gazebo. If the Lord's spoken to you about any particular ministry, go and put your name on those sheets. We'll be in contact with you, how you can get involved. Lastly, if there's anybody here that's got any need, any prayer need, anything you're struggling with, anything you'd like us to come into agreement with you, please come to the front afterwards. We'd love to pray with you. The rest of you have a wonderful Sunday. And we'll see you next week. Bless you.